Ahoy hoy everybody, welcome to episode 110 of the Untitled Gaming Podcast. I am your host Pat. Today we're joined by Rick and Chance.
What's up?
Some of you might be wondering where Zach is. Well, today was a very big day for Zach, and not just because it's Thanksgiving weekend. Zach's favorite childhood team, Michigan University, finally beat OSU for the first time since, what, 2005?
2011.
Pat, it's been a really long time.
University of Michigan. If Zach heard you say Michigan University, he'd be very
University
angry.
Of Michigan. I'm sorry. Yeah, so he's been a huge fan of University of Michigan since he was a child. Like, he bleeds blue. Like, you won't believe how big of a fan this guy is of University of Michigan. And, you know, it's been a rough, like, 10 years for him because OSU's been winning. But finally today, they won against OSU and in the playoff game, right? Or, like, getting into the playoffs. So he's ecstatic. He's just been out celebrating. And he know what he deserves it. So we gave him pretty much the night off to go celebrate. This one's for you, Zach. I know you're listening. Celebrate.
You did it, buddy. You did it. Yeah. Like, Pat went to Ohio State. My parents, like, my stepmom's a professor at Ohio State. Like, I think we tend to lead towards Ohio State, but we're going to let Zach have his victory. And
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm an OSU fan, like a huge OSU fan. I know everyone knows that about me, but, you know, I'm just doing this for Zach because we know Zach loves Michigan. So
he doesn't get a lot of wins.
Yeah. So anyway, if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. We are a gaming podcast that aims to entertain as well as inform. We discuss the week's biggest gaming news, reviews, impressions, and talk about the gaming industry in general. Of course, we don't only discuss games. Occasionally, we talk about movies, TV shows. Ghostbusters Afterlife was good. I saw it. Yeah, I saw it over the weekend. And usually, I'm not for, like, the sappy stuff, but it was pretty earned in this movie. And maybe it's just my nostalgia, but I really enjoyed it. Rick, are you a Ghostbusters fan? Have we talked about this?
Oh, yeah. I like watching Ghostbusters growing up, so I'll have to check it out.
But anyway, this week, we'll just be doing our, like, Thanksgiving episode, so we're going to be talking about games we're thankful for. But first, what have you been playing? Chance, why don't we start with you?
I put in some work on that Far Cry review. I, for the last 5 hours, I've been playing it this whole time. So I'm getting closer and closer. So I'm playing it. I need to get that out. I know. And I want to get it out because I want to play other games, like, really bad. But it's almost here. Pokemon, I have that right now. I'm slowly trying...
Diamond and Pearl or whatever?
Brilliant Diamond, I think, is what it's called. That's the one I have.
Nice. Who's your starter?
I like Chimchar. However, I'm one of the weird people that I like to get my starter shiny, and that means I have to soft restart until I get a shiny, and the odds of that, it's like one in every, like, 4,000.
So you played the beginning.
Like, so technically, I haven't even played the game yet because I've been trying to get the starter. So
I didn't even know that was a possibility. I thought you were just stuck with whatever you got.
No, you can actually get a shiny, like, starter if you keep restarting the game until you get one. Wow. The same thing can happen when the Pokemon you fight, you know, when you fight the first Pokemon, like, you can't catch it, like, you just fight it and beat it. The enemy Pokemon could actually be shiny too. Technically. I don't know. That was kind of like a weird little tidbit.
So you do this with, like, every recent Pokemon game?
That's crazy. I don't know. Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I mean, well, it only takes, like, it depends, like, on how
crazy,
lucky you
but that
are.
Takes
sometimes
a lot
it, can,
of, like,
it does take a lot of hours. Like, yeah, I mean, that's what there are a whole genre of people who hunt shiny Pokemon. So it's not too unheard of, but it's kind of what I like to do. And it's not, I don't know, not everyone does it, but that's what I like to do. So I have the game. I played, like, the first little bit of it and then restart and then play the first little bit of it again and then restart and over and over and over again. I have obviously been playing all these other games. I haven't really been playing Battlefield too much. Hasn't been doing very well critically.
A lot of bugs, I hear.
A lot of bugs and stuff like that. I have it, though, so hopefully they improve on it. Call of Duty, I've actually been playing a lot of. I have been playing a little bit of Halo. I've done a couple of the challenges. I need to do a couple more so I can get that samurai armor. I'd like to play with you guys more often. You said Monday nights is our Halo night, so.
Yep.
So I'll get on then. But it's just, yeah, with, like, the whole Thanksgiving and stuff like that, it's been hard to get on and play. Other than that, as you just heard, I was also on Final Fantasy. Endwalker comes out very, very soon, and since I pre-ordered the expansion, I can get on a little early. I finally got to level 80. I can do a couple more quests, and I'm finished with I'll be caught up with the quest line, so I can actually start the end game
raid.
Not the raid, but like content, I guess. You know, as soon as it comes out, I can start the MSQs for Endwalker. That is all I've been playing. Rick, what have you been up to?
Well, let's just kind of go down the list. On Switch, I played like maybe 10 more minutes of Metroid Dread. I think I might just need to restart it, considering I'm probably a total of 20 minutes in on it. But I kind of like slid myself into an area that I don't know how to slide myself out of, so whoops.
You can't yet. So keep going forward.
Kind of stuck. So maybe I'll try to shoot up.
Yeah, shoot everything you can if you're stuck, because most likely it's a hidden block. So shoot everything with missiles.
Okay. So that's going to be my plan here in a little bit. Also on the Switch, I played some of the Sega Genesis emulator of Sonic the Hedgehog 2, which I love Sonic the Hedgehog, and especially now that I can kind of rewind a couple frames in case I really mess up. And it's making getting the Chaos Gems, like, really easy. And I don't think I've gotten all of them before, so pretty excited about that. On the Xbox, I played a little bit more of Forza. Under Pat's recommendation, I played The Artful Escape, which is on Game Pass. 2D, getting a lot of, like, I guess, Oxenfree slash After Party vibes. At least as far as, like, the animation. But the animation kind of goes above and beyond. Gameplay is pretty simple, but honestly, it's a fun game. Happy
it's like
I beat
Simon
it.
Says.
Yep. Kind of played a little bit with Xbox introduced console streaming beta in the past couple weeks. So I just kind of would like stream a game without actually downloading it just to see how that ran. So initially I did My Friend Pedro, but that game has a lot going on. So I probably played about 20 minutes of that and decided to move on to Hellblade. And just kind of see how that would translate, because I wanted something I'd be comfortable with and kind of be able to compare the game streaming with actually like playing the game, that like the downloaded game. So other than like a few kind of like freeze points, it worked pretty well. And it's not like my Xbox is really far from my router. My router is behind this Christmas tree. My Xbox is like right in front of me. There's a Christmas tree right next to me for you listeners out there. So there's really no reason there should be too much of a delay, but honestly, it looks beautiful, and it works really well. So decided to give that a try and revisit Hellblade. I don't think I've actually beaten it on Xbox yet. When I played it, it was for PlayStation 4. I finally rolled credits, at least 3 out of 4 credits for The Forgotten City. Got the canon ending on that one, so now it's just kind of going back and, you know, like the very like opening screen is like, oh yeah, try not to spoil anything for anybody, but I figured since I got to the end without like looking anything up, I can kind of look up how to mess it up and get the other endings pretty easy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, with all due respect to the developers, I'm kind of just going around getting the achievements, because that's how I be. I try to play It Takes Two solo, but you cannot. So whoops, because that is in contention for Game of the Year. And then, let's not forget Halo Infinite. Been playing that whenever I can. I've been having a lot of issues with it as far as, like, connecting to a multiplayer game sometimes. Like, it'll be, like, no multiplayer matches available. And I know, I took a few screenshots, but I also noticed that if I close the game itself and restart it, I'm fine.
Okay, so I think I might know what you're talking about, because I left it in quick resume one time.
Yeah, it's quick, yeah.
And then when I came back, that's when it's like, can't connect to a game. So then I closed it. And ever since then, I've been closing it after every session and then reopening it next time I turn on the Xbox, and it's been working flawlessly. So that
I was so furious for multiple nights where I'd like take screenshots, be like, what is this bullshit? And then I was like, you know what? How about I just close it out and reopen it? Like the standard IT technique. And lo and behold, it works every time. So
yeah, I think the quick resume doesn't play nice with the connecting to the server or whatever. So it's probably it for now.
So yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been enjoying it thoroughly. Really feels, you know, pretty nostalgic, but also, you know, a couple of new flares here and there. It's been fun. There's a little session going on right now with Slayer Fiesta where you kind of get spawned with two random guns or two random weapons, because sometimes it's not a gun. So I've been getting heavy into that. Apparently there are certain tasks to do that I haven't really been paying attention to. I've just been like running gun and having fun.
Yeah, so it's the Fracture event, I believe it's called. So it'll be a recurring event from now until like March. 1 week we'll have the return of Fiesta and then challenges. And you basically have a free 30-tier battle pass associated with that. And every time you do a challenge, you go up one tier. So during this first event, you can only go up 7 tiers. And then the next time it comes back, you can go up another 7 tiers. But at tier 5... you unlock the Yuri armor, which is the samurai armor that was in like the trailers and stuff, as like a free unlockable. So that's you don't have to buy anything like the battle pass or anything. You can just unlock that for free. So yeah, I highly recommend doing that.
Yeah, let's use that as a transition, considering that's what I've been playing. Pat, I'm assuming Halo.
Yeah, I put like 45 hours into Halo since it came out. So I am reviewing the multiplayer portion of it. Since the multiplayer came out early and the campaign doesn't come out till December 8th, we're kind of just splitting the reviews, but it's still going to get one score. So right now I'm talking about the multiplayer in that review, which is going to come out, if it's not already out now when you're listening to this episode, it should be out later this week. And it's not a scored review. I do review the multiplayer portion of it, but I don't put a score on it. And we'll put a final score on it when the campaign review is out. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, I've been loving it because I put 45 hours into this game already. And it's been out for what, like less than 2 weeks at this point. So yeah, really, really loving it. It is very fun. It is classic Halo, but modernized. And, you know, the equipment adds another level with the grapple shot. Absolutely love the grapple shot. Absolutely love the map design on this one. I know Halo 5 had some not bad maps, but like not memorable maps. Like I can not name a Halo 5 map off the top of my head, except like Truth and Regret, which were remakes of previous Halo games. So they've gone with quality instead of quantity this time around. So there's only 10 maps to start off with at launch. 7 of those are the 4v4, and then 3 of those are the big team battle maps. And literally, there's not a map that I don't like. There's never a map that pops up where I'm like, shit, this again? It's always like, okay, I'm fine with playing this, because usually if it's the same map, it's usually a different mode, like Capture the Flag or Oddball or something on that same map. So really loving it. There has been some hoopla with the progression system. Early on, people were only able to progress with challenges that were pretty obtuse, like kill 5 banshees. But banshees were so like rare to spawn in a map that it was like a very hard challenge to do. So they kind of took that feedback into consideration, and within like a couple of days, they kind of changed it. So now every time you play a match, you get 50 XP towards the battle pass. But they also have like the daily and the weekly challenges, which are a little bit easier. It's just like kill 10 Spartans or kill 10 Spartans with your side pistol or whatever. So I feel like that's a step in the right direction. It probably needs a little bit of tweaking still. But I will take this chance to call out our Halo, because that is probably the whiniest subreddit I've ever been to. Literally, like, every other post is somebody just complaining about the same shit. Like, oh my god, can you believe they're charging for this and that and this and that? And like, yeah, because it's a free-to-play game. They're gonna charge for shit. Like, what did you expect? You're not paying $60 to get into this game. And a lot of people are complaining, like, oh, I have to pay $8 for this armor coating, which is like their version of like a color and a texture that you can apply to your armor. Well, it's optional. You don't have to pay that. Like, people realize this, right? Like, I don't understand why this is such a huge complaint factor to them. Gameplay wise, I think it's great. I don't think this monetization thing is a big deal, and I certainly think they're going to make that better over time. But you know, I'm not letting it hinder my enjoyment of the game. So yeah, just something to keep in mind. Chance, are you paid the premium battle pass for Halo, right?
Yeah, I did. I bought, I think it's like just like kind of like all the other battle passes, like Call of Duty and Apex. If you get the premium, obviously it's a little more expensive, I think like $20 or something. And then you bypass the first 25 levels. So you typically get a bunch of stuff off the bat, and you essentially get a good start into the battle pass. I think I'm at like I haven't played nearly as much as Pat. I have played a little bit, so I'm at like 35. So I've gone up a little bit since then.
I have not bought the bundle that includes the 25 levels. So I started at like zero, and I, after 45 hours, I'm at like level 29, 30 ish. So not terrible. I mean, this battle pass is what we have until May when that season ends. So if they made it much easier, then you would have burned through it in like a month, and then people would be like, where's the next content? So it's a problem that they need to like
fine tune. Yeah, so something to work on. Like when you play it, some kind of progression. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, you mentioned that when they come out with more battle passes, you can have multiple of them active, right? As long as you like buy them. So you could have like two or three battle passes, and then you could like play a game and lock something on every battle pass and get like a bunch of stuff.
Well, no. So battle passes, you can only have one at a time. They have the special event passes, which are smaller, which you can have active the same time as a battle pass, but battle passes don't expire. So this one is like Heroes of Reach. So if I still have like 20 levels left on this by May when season 2 starts, I can buy the season 2 battle pass, and then I choose if I want my experience to go to this one or if I want my experience to go to the new one. But I can't go through both at the same time unless there's an event, and then it can go to the event and one battle pass of your choice, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you just have to like have one active, and then the small ones are always in effect if you're doing the challenges.
Yeah. Rick, you have not bought any battle pass or anything with Halo right? Has that affected your enjoyment of the game?
Oh, hell no.
Exactly.
I don't really care how I look.
Exactly. It's a first-person game anyway. Arm. Yeah,
like,
which is
I don't give a shit. I never really cared much about skins or anything like that. Like, I'm not a big fashionista, so you know, I just want to have fun and play the game. I don't care if I look like a poor kid. I haven't spent any money on it, and it's free, so I think it works out.
Yeah, and, you know, when I think of Halo armor, I think of grinding the campaign and finding all the skulls in Halo 3 to get, like, the Hayabusa armor. They've already said when the campaign comes out, you can play the campaign to get certain armor pieces, and there's going to be free events every now and then, like they have the free event right now, that can get you certain armor types and customization and stuff. So I don't think it's a big deal. Even if you don't pay money, you'll still enjoy the game. You'll still have some customization. You just won't have it to the level of, you know, someone who's bought stuff, obviously. So that's the trade-off for a free-to-play game. And I think that's just the reality we're living in. So I'm fine with it. But yeah, Halo, to me, I've really been enjoying it. So other than Halo, I did put a little bit of time into Mario Party Superstars, which is the newest Mario Party that came out, which is kind of like not a remake, but it's like picking and choosing the best mini games of the last like seven games and the best boards from the last three or something like that, and kind of mashing it all together in the engine of the one that came out in like 2018. But it's available with online play right off the bat, and I played with a friend. We played online. There was no lag or anything that I could have like noticed, at least. There was no disconnects. We were able to play the game all the way through, a 15 turn game. And, you know, I ended up winning by like classic Mario Party, where I just happened to land on the space that moved the star before he could get it on the last turn. And then I got one of the
son of a bitch.
I got one of the chaos stars at the end or whatever. So I ended up winning. But yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's not something I would, you know, play religiously. I'm not going to put 45 hours into it like I have with Halo, but it is something, you know, you can play every now and then and still have fun with. And from what I understand, it is the best mini games out of the last game. So if you're a big fan of Mario Party, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. So there we go for that. And yeah, that's pretty much, Rick has mentioned, I did also beat Artful Escape. I did really enjoy it. It is a coming of age story, and I was kind of like, how the fuck are they going to end this? Like halfway through the game, I'm like, I don't know where this is going. And then they do end it in a very satisfying way, in my opinion. So I don't think your choices really affect the ending. I think everyone got the same ending, kind of like Guardians, but it does kind of make you, like, my character that I've made, my Francis Vendetti is going to be very different than Rick's Francis Vendetti, because, you know, the name, the origin, the clothes and everything can be very different. So yeah, very fun game. It is on Game Pass, so check it out. And it's only like, what, 3 to 4 hours in length?
Yeah.
And easy achievements.
And it's really fun. Like, if you're just looking to kind of, let's say, turn off your brain a little bit, but just kind of ogle at all the visual effects, especially for an indie game, like, it was just neat.
Yeah. And that is pretty much it.
What's the news? What's the news?
Not Slow News.
Let us move on to Not Slow News. So Not Slow News is where we talk about the current news in the video gaming space. We don't have a time limit anymore. We kind of just talk about it until we feel like we need to. It's not fast, but it's not slow either. So we had the official reveal of Multiverses, which we talked about previously. It is the platform fighter from WB Games that includes all of their properties. And we were absolutely correct. Clearly they listened to our podcast and they, took ideas from us. You know, it's not like the game was in development for years and all that stuff was set in stone. I think they listened to our podcast 2 weeks ago and changed to a free-to-play model, like we suggested. What did you guys think of this trailer?
It looks awesome. They got Arya Stark in there. And of course, they prided themselves on having
all the
best voice actors, yeah, to voice their characters. So Maisie Williams is Arya Stark. What's his name?
Kevin Conroy is Batman.
Yeah, you know, live action Scooby Doo.
Matthew Lillard.
Yes, he's the voice actor of Shaggy. I don't know how you don't have Scooby in the game, but maybe he might be a character down the road. You know, kind of like how they add like Smash. So, I don't, it looks awesome. The game looks pretty good. They have some memes in there, which is pretty funny.
I have the full cast roster at launch. Yeah, so you have Batman, voiced by Kevin Conroy. Superman, voiced by George Newbern. Wonder Woman, voiced by Abby Trott. Harley Quinn, voiced by Tara Strong. Shaggy, voiced by Matthew Lillard. Bugs Bunny, voiced by Eric Bauza. Arya Stark, voiced by Maisie Williams. Jake the Dog from Adventure Time, voiced by John DiMaggio.
Bender.
Finn the Human, voiced by Jeremy Shada. Steven Universe, voiced by Daniel DeVerney. Probably didn't say that name right, but whatever. Garnett, also from Steven Universe, voiced by Estelle. Just Estelle, no last name.
Just Estelle.
Tom and Jerry, voiced tandem characters, voiced by Eric Bauza. And then Rain Dog, which is an extraordinary original creature, voiced by Andrew Frankel. So I'm not sure if an extraordinary original creature is the name of the property or if it's just an original character for this game.
Oh, like their original character? It's That'd be kind of interesting. Capitalized.
Yeah. So maybe
it's not capitalized. So I'm assuming they just kind of threw something in there to tie everybody together.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean,
rein them all in.
Yeah, it does lean into the cartoon side of it. Like, you know, the Batman and Superman are from like the animated series. So I do think the art style of these kind of do mesh well together. And the trailer made it seem like they are focusing on 2v2, like the co-op side of it, which if you're going to copy Smash, just copy Smash. You don't need to do your own thing with it. So I'm hoping you know, the free-for-all doesn't suffer because they're focusing on 2v2 or anything. So hopefully they don't go too original with that. I'd rather them just stick to the layout and, like, let's have a good platform fighter on the level of Smash available on all platforms. It is cross-platform, cross-progression. You can earn cosmetics. Like, they did show some alternate costumes for, like, Shaggy and stuff. But I think in terms of gameplay, nothing's going to change because you're wearing a different costume. And I'm assuming later on they'll add new characters. They didn't have Gandalf, which was in the leak, which I think was a good character. Like, Lord of the Rings is such a noticeable property. So hopefully they add him pretty soon.
All you have to do is just go to Well, I mean, of course, if you just know all the properties, but I mean, if you were just go to like the Space Jam movie and go to the part where it zooms up to the crowd and show all the WB properties, I'm sure you could just look at all that. And like, these guys could all be in these games, like Pennywise, Kong, or Harry like, Potter. You know, Harry Potter. You have, you know, the, what's his name? The Iron Giant. You know what I mean? You could have all those people in the game, essentially. So,
yeah. So they do have a big pool of characters, and if they do something like Smash where like every 3 months they have a big character reveal and, you know, you can buy the character for like $2 or $3 or $5 or whatever, or maybe just free and then you buy cosmetics. I think that model would work as well. But yeah, I mean, it's free to play, so I'm definitely going to be checking it out. I don't think this is going to be a game that I get like super into, but I think it'll be a fun time where we're like, hey, let's all get on, you know, Smash, but better because it has good online. So, and Multiverses is such a good name. Like, we've already talked about this in a leak, but like, if you had that name, you have to use it. So, yeah. Other than that, we kind of talked about it before when we talked that Halo multiplayer was revealed at the Xbox anniversary event. Yeah, so there's a couple of other things that they announced at that event. Not anything major. Like, they didn't have any new game announcements or anything. There is a mini documentary about like how Xbox was created and like how it was like the big laughingstock in the Microsoft brand, because Microsoft was always known as like a business first professional company. And they're like, wait, you're making a gaming console? During the kind of the press of this, you had Seamus Blackley, who's like the father of the Xbox, like the person who was in charge of the original Xbox when it was coming out. He went on a couple of gaming podcasts and he was talking about how he would visit different developers to like before the Xbox came out, before it was even announced, to like get them on board to develop games for the Xbox. And he went to EA and they didn't believe him that Microsoft was making a gaming console. So they're like, no, we need to speak to Bill Gates. Get Bill Gates on the phone and let him confirm that you guys are making a console. So just stories like that, like that's super interesting to me as being like a fan of games and stuff. So I'm definitely going to be tuning into this documentary whenever it is released. I think it's sometime in November or December, right? But keep an eye out for that. And then they also announced new titles coming to backwards compatibility, along with games that are getting FPS boost. So I'm not going to list all of them because there's like over 70 games that were announced, but just a couple of highlights. So the entire Fear trilogy is coming to backwards compatibility. Same with the entire Max Payne trilogy. I'm super excited for that. Ridge Racer 6, a bunch of SpongeBob games. Star Wars Episode 3 Revenge of the Sith, Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast, Time Splitters, 50 Cent's Blood and Sand, if you are a big fan of that. Anything else that sticks out to you guys on this list?
All the Fear games I'd be interested in. Other than that, like, there's, I think there might have been a couple Star Wars ones.
Dead or Alive.
Also... Yeah, Dead or Alive. Time Splitters 2.
Yeah.
I haven't played that in a while. As featured in Shaun of the Dead. It's that old. Red Dead Revolver.
Oh, really? That's on... Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah. Quake Arena Arcade, which I played quite a bit of Quake. Oddworld Munch's Odyssey, a few other Mortal Kombat's back there, but Max Payne's Lego Lord of the Rings, which I thought was backwards compatible anyway. But yeah, mainly Fear, Red Dead Revolver, and a few of the Star Wars ones I kind of got kind of excited about.
Yeah, I'm most excited for the Max Payne trilogy. I wish that was an FPS boost, because that would just be awesome, because Max Payne 1, along with GT Racing / Jet Set Radio Future, and then... Halo Combat Evolved were the first, like, that was the three games I had when I first got my original Xbox, so definitely excited to replay those. New FPS titles, so you have Assassin's Creed, which now supports 60 FPS, same with Dead Space 2 and 3, I think Dead Space 1 had already supported it, I believe. But Fable Anniversary and Fable 3 also support FPS boost now. I'm not sure what's going on with Fable 2, if it already supported it, or if it's just one that doesn't work right with it. Alan Wake is also one that supports it now. All the Gears of War. Mirror's Edge, because that performance on the 360 was very, very bad. That would dip into like the teens on the 360. It did now on Series X, that is running at 4K at 60 FPS. So just a massive boost in terms of performance for that game. I think same with Sonic Generations. And then a couple of the Lego Lord of the Rings also got an FPS boost. Fallout New Vegas, that's the other one I wanted to mention. So Fallout New Vegas, I believe, now runs at 4K. 60 FPS on the Series X, same with Fallout 3. Far Cry 3 is also a big one that is very good to go back to. Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2. Some of these are already available on Game Pass through EA Access if you have Game Pass Ultimate, so highly recommend checking those out. Oblivion, another one that is FPS boost now. So a lot of reasons to go back to these old titles. I know, Rick, you said were you playing New Vegas, or were you about to play New Vegas?
I was playing New Vegas up until I got my Xbox Series X. And then I did what I do with most of the time when I play a Bethesda game, where I get to a point where I have to make a decision, and you have a wide variety of decisions, and basically a decision to stop me from playing any further. I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
They were like, I had to make a choice, and I was just like, I'm still not mentally ready. I'm definitely not level-wise ready, because I run into, like, the factions that I have to choose, and, like, if I say no to a certain faction, then I'll probably get my ass kicked, and I don't have enough ammo right now. And Vegas, I'm kind of playing it in hard mode, so I'm really taking my time savoring it and trying to find as many side quests as I can to get some experience and some ammo, please. But I'm excited to go back. I remember as soon as I played it on the Series X, it was like there was zero loading times. Like it looked better. I was actually able to get past there's like a vault you have to go into, and it's like very overgrown with vegetation, and I couldn't find my way out. And as soon as I played it on the Series X, I was like, oh wow, there's an obvious path over there that I just couldn't see before.
Yeah, I think that's like auto HDR, and then I think it did get a resolution boost previously, but now it has the FPS boost as well. Chance, what about you? Any games on this list that you're excited for?
I guess the Fear games. I don't remember which Fear it was, but I was really into the multiplayer of Fear. That probably was like the newer one.
Three?
Probably three. Yeah, I had like multiplayer and I was really into that for a little while. But it's kind of like that horror, like FPS. I'm most interested for those.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going back to Fable Anniversary. It's been a while since I played Fable. And now with, you know, resolution boost and FPS boost, that could definitely be a good experience. And then Mirror's Edge. I've never played that all the way through, and I've heard good things about it, but it just had really shitty performance. But now, you know, solid 4K, 60 FPS. Definitely looking forward to that. But yeah, other than that, out of the Microsoft anniversary event, the only other big news was that Halo Infinite multiplayer is available now. I remember Chance, you know, texting in Slack like, hey, it's up now, whatever. So going to rush to download it while I was on break at work. And then I think on my lunch that day, I was able to get a couple games in, and then, you know, playing pretty much all night that night. So,
yeah, it was kind of funny how like a couple games were like shadow dropped, like Halo, Ruined King from the League of Riots game. That was also kind of dropped when they had their whole Riot Games update, which actually did pretty well, and people really liked it. And they also revealed a bunch of other games that looked very interested. So,
nice.
Yeah, it was kind of funny having those games shadow drop. But
I think the the game that probably suffered the most for games having been shadow dropped is Battlefield 2042 or whatever, because it was out in that like early access period or whatever. So if you pre-order the game, you could play, but the full release hadn't been like hadn't been released yet. And then Halo got dropped like that in between time. So it just kind of took over all of the momentum, and you know, people were just talking about Halo. Halo was the most played game on Steam and all of this shit. So I bet, you know, somebody called Phil Spencer is like, hey, what the fuck is this? We do a marketing deal with you and you guys drop your competing first person shooter the same week that we're releasing. Like, what the fuck is this? So I wouldn't be surprised if the next Battlefront or Battlefield, I keep fucking those two up. The next Battlefield is a PlayStation marketing deal because they don't have a first person shooter to compete with them. So, but yeah. Have you also been playing Call of Duty, Chance? Did you talk about that, and what have you been playing?
Yeah, I mentioned it. I've been playing it. I'm like level 50.
So out of the three shooters, you've like the three major shooters this year, you've played them all, right?
What do you mean, like Call of Duty,
Halo, Battlefield, Halo? And Call of Duty? Yeah. So what would you say? What are your thoughts on them? Which one do you think is going to be the most successful?
But I don't know. I feel like Halo is going to be the most successful only because, well, it depends how successful. Are you talking about like critically acclaimed, or are you talking about like money wise? Because like,
yeah. So money wise, I don't think free to play is going to be like, obviously the sales like numbers.
Call of Duty is always going to make a lot of money. There's people who just blindly buy it all the time, every year. I nowadays get it only if I get it for free, or I get like $20-$30 off, or it's 50% off or whatever. You know, it's a game that just sells like hotcakes, and they'll just keep releasing it every year, the same exact game every year, until somehow, some way people stop buying it, or, you know, things like that. But critically acclaimed, I think Halo should be in there. The game doesn't come out very often. I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. I would like to play it more, but I enjoy like the gameplay. Like, I like how it plays. Call of Duty, it's just a game where it's just like you just spawn, you just try to get as many kills just before you die. So Halo and Call of Duty are the big two. Call of Duty make more money, but Halo I feel like should be more recognized for just for how it's kind of like evolved to be like a modern Halo shooter.
I think
I feel like it's a lot more competitive. It's more, a lot more competitive, Halo, in my opinion, because obviously the game's always been more balanced because it hasn't had to deal with all the attachments and all the perks. It's more like, you know, everyone's on the same playing field, and that's why Halo is going to be a lot more competitive and things like that. So,
yeah, I think you're right on the money there. I think Halo is going to be the one that is going to get most talked about. Call of Duty is going to get the highest sales, and I think Battlefield is just going to be an afterthought between these two, kind of like what happened with Titanfall 2 when it was caught between Call of Duty and Battlefield that year. Battlefield is now caught between Halo and Call of Duty this year. So you reap what you sow, EA. But yeah, so that's pretty much it for Not So News. Moving on to our topic of show, we just kind of wanted to do a Thanksgiving special. So we're just going to kind of talk about favorite Thanksgiving games, which isn't, you know, games that take place during Thanksgiving, because I don't think there's any really
that happen. There probably is, but we just are so obscure. Yeah. I don't even know what games.
Yeah. So it's just games that either released during Thanksgiving or you played during Thanksgiving that you have fond memories of. For me, like, I'll go first. It's Halo Infinite. Like, this entire Thanksgiving break, I've been playing Halo Infinite. It came out, you know, right before Thanksgiving, and you know, it's just been like, I'm on the Halo subreddit. I'm talking with my brother. I'm playing Halo with people I haven't played Halo with in years, or haven't played Xbox with in years. Like, literally people who I played when Halo 5 came out, we were playing Halo 5. And then when Master Chief Collection came out, we were playing Master Chief Collection. And then we just stopped playing with each other because other games are out. They were on Halo Infinite. So they just invited me to a game. We joined a party. We started playing and, you know, having a great time. Custom games are super fun. Like, it's just, Halo's back. Like, I fucking love it. So definitely Halo is going to be my game. And I know it's super recent, but that's my answer. Chance, what about you?
Well, I guess I'll say the Ruin King game from League of Legends. Just, I'm thankful for the game because I'm one of the people who've played League of Legends since, like, you know, 2011, 2010, whenever the MOBA came out. And to see how, you know, they can finally call themselves right games, and they're releasing, like, they're on point right now. They're on fire. They have been known, they freaking published, like, music that's, like, you know, top of line, like, you know, pop music that everyone likes listening to. They have a TV show that just came out, Arcane, that's blowing up all over the place. People are saying it's like, you know, I don't know, like the next best, like it's like a new, like, you know, standard for animation. They have, you know, the Ruined King that just came out that, you know, is once again showcasing some of the other characters that are working together and during a certain event that happened in the story. Like, they have all this world building to work on, and, like, they're doing such a great job. They have an MMO coming out at some point. They have a bunch of other games coming out, that are, you know, they're League of Legends stories that focus on the different champions that are in the games. Like, they have Valorant, they have a card game, they have games in all kinds of genres. Like, they are all over the place. And it's like, if you don't, you know, there has to be a right game that you like, because it's in every genre. So I guess I would say Ruin King, but I guess I would say just Riot in general, because they are kind of killing it in the video games and media, you know, spotlight in general. So that's what I'm thankful for.
All right, then I'm just gonna say Halo, mainly the Master Chief Collection. This one kind of has a story behind it. My mom, for Black Friday, like when it first the Xbox One first came out, she found one. And, like, just on Black Friday, she was just out shopping, just, like, for the fun of it. And she found one. She was like, oh, wait, does anybody, like, want to buy this from me? Like, I found it. They seem to be hard to find. And then, like, my sister-in-law, was able to find one. And, like, nobody really, like, wanted it. I think that year I might have just gotten a PS4 or, like, just didn't have the money to buy it off of her. So she just kept it. And just had it in, like, her little exercise room. So that unlocked my stepdad to be able to play next-gen games. Like, I was playing, like, Fallout 4, so I was like, okay, cool, this Christmas I'm going to buy Fallout 4. But one of the games that came with it, or she bought with it, was the Master Chief Collection. So I remember, like, helping him hook it up. So, like, just about every Thanksgiving, for sure, and just about every Christmas, my nephew, Siler, would come over and just post up in that room. Exercise room and just like be playing Halo. And he's like, you guys want to play Halo? Come on, somebody come in here and play Halo.
That's awesome.
I just get suckered into playing Halo with this like 10-year-old. Of course, he's gotten a year older each year that we've done it, but still, it's always been one of my favorite memories of just kind of sneaking in the other room after eating like plates and plates of food and just playing Halo with Siler.
Nice.
I wonder if he still sucks. I think he beat me a couple times, but he was a kid.
What about any games that you got like on Black Friday, super cheap? Like if it was like a game like you wouldn't normally get, but then you got it because it was on sale or anything like that? Any memories like that?
I'm going to say no, but as far as going through, because, you know, even like during the internet, like within the past like 10 years, you get like the newspaper that day. Or like the Thanksgiving Day newspaper and have like all the deals for Black Friday. So a lot of times my parents would be like, so what do you want for Christmas? And it's like, well, let's pass around these like little brochures and see what we want. So I just remember seeing like all the games listed, like how cheap they were, like usually what the monetary budget was for me for Christmas and like what games I should ask for from which parent and everything. Like, yeah, that was always like strategizing like what I will get for Christmas or what I could possibly get for Christmas. And I remember it was like 1998, looking at the PlayStation and seeing all the games on there. And I was like, oh, shit, I want to get that so bad. That was probably like 1996, 1997. I forget exactly when I got my PlayStation 1. But I'll never forget the day.
Yeah, for me, it would be, so I just double checked to make sure this, I had the memory right. But I remember Dishonored 2 came out November 11th, 2016. Which is the same time something else came out. So I remember not getting it at launch, even though I was a huge fan of Dishonored, and then seeing that it was like $30 on Black Friday. So I remember going to Walmart to fight, you know, the whole traffic and all of that shit, super early in the morning, just to go there and like dig through the things. Everyone else is getting like Call of Duty and all of this shit, like other games that are on sale. And there's like 20 copies of Dishonored right there. So I'm like, fucking yeah, I got Dishonored. And I go up and then check out and I go home. And I just remember playing Dishonored 2. I think I beat it within like 2 days because Dishonored 2 is such a great game. But it also came with a free copy of Dishonored 1 Definitive Edition. So I remember I didn't know that at the time. So I opened it up. I'm like, oh my God, Dishonored 1 Next Gen Edition or whatever. Back then, before you had the free upgrades and stuff that you have now. So I remember I beat Dishonored 2 and then I immediately jumped into Dishonored 1 and then played through that again with like different choices and stuff. And I just remember having so much fun that weekend playing Dishonored 2 and 1 and just thinking like how everyone else is getting these like high budget, you know, much more popular games like Call of Duty or maybe Battlefield was out or whatever. It might have been Hardline or something, but I was just playing Dishonored 2 because I'm a huge fan of Dishonored 2. So
yeah, I mean, like, I just like in general how these, like, you know, usually there's a pretty long break of like how nothing is released. And then, you know, everything comes out October, November, December. But, like, these brand new big games that come out at the end of the year go on sale, on some kind of sale, right as they come out. So it's just amazing because, like, all the shooters come out and or just, you know, games that, you know, take multiple years to make. And then they finally release that year and, you know, you can instantly get something for, you know, $20 off. And it's just awesome.
Yeah, I think Rise of the Tomb Raider might have been another one that I got right around Black Friday in 2015. Yeah, it's just, that's like my biggest memory of just getting like games that I wanted but didn't get like right at launch, but then got like a month later for super cheap that were probably not as popular as some of these other big games, but were still really awesome games. So, yeah, I haven't really gotten anything this Black Friday. Have you guys got any video game wise this Black Friday?
I did get something that would make my video games play and look better, but
did you get that attachment for Switch?
No, I got that TV.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I went. I paid a pretty penny for it, but it's like one of the top line TVs, and you know I can play games on performance mode, 120 frames, and
the LG OLED C1, I believe is the one you got.
Yeah. Yep, I got it from Costco, and it came with all a bunch of good, you know, goodies, a very good warranty, which I still need to register and do that. And then, you know, I think I get like $100 towards something or, you know what I mean? It was pretty good. So I'm glad I got it. Not only that, but just everything looks in general. Everything looks good in general, like TV shows, movies. I have all my services on there and everything, all my streaming services. So
we are not sponsored by Costco or LG. It's just a good product.
Yeah, I know. it is. I mean, yeah. But that's my Black Friday shopping that I did was that TV. So
I didn't exactly shop on Black Friday, but I did buy something a part of a Black Friday sale.
What did you buy?
And I'm not proud of it, but I kind of am.
Call of Duty?
No. Xbox is having a sale of quite a few games. Of course, I check almost daily for Death's Door, and I think I'm just going to bite the bullet and spend $20 and buy it because I need to play it before the Tuggies for Tuggy consideration. But I did notice that Witcher 3 was $10 for the Ultimate Edition for Xbox, which I don't own it on Xbox. And Witcher 2 was like $3, maybe like $2.50. So I was like, you know what? I've been waiting for The Witcher to get down to $10, and I told myself I was going to buy it. And I realized earlier tonight that I had bought in The Witcher 3, completed it. Actually, no, not a complete edition. Bought The Witcher 3 four times.
Nice. Oh, jeez.
I bought it for my PS4.
Nice.
I got it for my Switch. I bought it for $10 on Steam because it was on sale one time. Now I bought it on Xbox. I also own The Witcher 2 on Steam as well. So I remember I was able to get like all three Witchers for like $15.
And then you're like, watching the TV show on Netflix, right? And I think the new season comes out soon, right? For The Witcher 2?
It does.
Or Witcher, yep. I guess Witcher season 2?
Yep. So I'm right now been audiobooking Lord of the Rings trilogy. I've been watching Wheel of Time. and now I'm gonna have to watch The Witcher as well, and I think all my fantasies kind of just melding together.
Yeah, I remember buying Witcher on Good Old Games because that's like they had a discount for pre-order because that's their version of Steam basically, and then I did buy it a couple of Black Fridays ago on Xbox because I hadn't played it on Xbox, and I still have not played it on Xbox because I just haven't found the time, but I will find the time when the next gen upgrade comes out because it'll run better. And I'm pretty sure it's going to include ray tracing. I think that was the promise on Series X. And that's going to be a free upgrade for anybody who owns Witcher. So there you go. You got that for $10 now. So
I think I was like, okay, the BioShock Collection and Witcher 3. If either of those come like are on sale for $10, I have to buy them. And I was still kind of dancing around because I still need to buy Death's Door. But I was like, I'm going to buy Witcher. So
yeah, I normally do that like every Black Friday. I look on the Xbox or the PlayStation stores because they have huge sales, and then I'll buy like a couple of games that I just never get to because I'm like, I know I like this game or I've played it before. I just want to own it on this platform, and then I'll get it. I've done that with like Just Cause. I think last year I bought the Saints Row, Get Out of Hell or something like that because it was on sale. No intention of playing it, but it was like $3. So I'm like, fuck it. Why not? So, yeah.
That's it's like great. I can buy my entire Steam wish list for like $17 right now, and I'm just like,
yeah.
So I want to pull that trigger.
Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah, that's pretty much our topic of show there. If you guys want to write in with your Thanksgiving memories or any games like that, feel free to do that, or just tweet at Snorzax, Snor. ZAX. And yeah, if you're tweeting at Zach, make sure you tweet go blue, so I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Yeah, if he's sober enough to remember, he's
celebrating
hard tonight.
Yeah, but he deserves it. So
I think he said he's bought like 3 bottles of rosé.
Yeah. Popping champagne. No,
that was 4-4 locos, I thought.
A oh, lot. Zachy.
Subpar subtitles.
Wow.
But anyway, so moving on to subpar subtitles. So this is a game we like to end the podcast with, where we basically take the principle that game developers like naming their games with franchise colon subtitle, like Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and that's SUB hyphen TITLE. So we basically take that principle. I create a fake subtitle and I intermix it with a bunch of real ones. And it's our panel's job here to keep, to figure out which one the fake one is. We've been keeping score all year. What are the scores currently? Does anyone have that information?
I think Zach and I are the same. And then Rick has like 6 more than us. Is it 18 yeah. to 12 and 12?
Yeah. Yeah. 18 okay. and 12 and 12.
All right. So you guys have a shot to catch up. I think how many more weeks are left in the year?
So not enough.
One, two, so 3 podcasts, including this one. So you're only 6 points behind. If you get all 3 points every week and Rick doesn't, then you can win, Chance. If Zach never shows up to another podcast, obviously he's not going to get points. So I don't know if Zach will do well, but you guys ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Original Sin. Wolverine, little shout out to Zach there. The Sorcerer's Shadow, The Cyber Slayer, and Paper Jam. I'll repeat those again for those of you listening at home. Original Sin, Wolverine, The Sorcerer's Shadow, The Cyber Slayer, and Paper Jam. Rick, since you have the lead, why don't you go first?
I'm going to go D, Cyber Slayer.
The Cyber Slayer for Rick. Chance, what is your answer?
I don't really know. I guess I'll do the Original Sin.
Original Sin A. All right, so now for the twist. You guys have the option to either keep your answer, and you will get 3 points if that is indeed correct, or you can choose to say that they were all real or all fake. If you choose all real or all fake, and that is indeed the case, you will get double the points for a total of 6. Chance, what will you do?
I don't know. I'll say they're all real.
Chance is saying all real. Rick?
I'm also going to say all real.
Rick is also saying all real. All right. You guys ready? Divinity Original Sin. Real game. Isn't that the game you and Zach were playing, yeah. Chance?
Yeah, that's what? Why I felt so familiar. Yeah. But I know that they're all real, so I had to pick one.
All right, okay. X-Men Origins Wolverine, real game. The Sorcerer's Shadow, not a real game.
Okay.
Kiko Ugai, the Cyber Slayer, real game. And Mario and Luigi Paper Jam, real game. So, score stays the same. Chance has two more shots, so he can potentially tie or take the lead if it is all real or all fake and Rick gets everything wrong. So we're still in this game for at least another podcast. I think if nothing changes next podcast or Rick gets it right, then it's pretty much over. But thanks for listening. Remember, you can catch us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. You can reach us with any questions, comments, concerns. Like we said before, go tweet at Zach. Go Blue. He'll really appreciate it. Or just email the Untitled Gaming Podcast at gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on our social media. On Twitter, we are at TUGPOD. On Instagram, we are at TUG_POD. On Reddit, we are at r/TugPod. And on Facebook, we're the Untitled Gaming Podcast. On Twitch, we are twitch.tv/TugPod. We also ask that you subscribe and leave us reviews.
5-star reviews for us.
1-star review for every other podcast. Who's directing me? His directing me.
God damn it. That's gold.